Welcome to the Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast, the show in which we explore different ways of aligning our energy, activities, inner work, and daily life with Earth's natural flow and the Sky Clock's astrological rhythm. I'm Anna, a passionate astrology enthusiast and natural cycles explorer, and I invite you to join me on this journey where I will try to create a more balanced, graceful, and joyful living using the timeless wisdom of a sky clock. Hello, beautiful friends and strangers, and welcome to Flowing with the Sky Clock podcast. My name is Anna, and this is, I believe, the fourth episode of this show. If you are a recurring listener, then you might think that the podcast have died of natural causes, as I have not recorded anything since the beginning of summer, or maybe even late spring. I believe the last episode was Gemini, and I cannot even recall, which only tells you how long it has been since I recorded the last time. So it must have been at least 4 or 5 months. And here I am. I'm coming back. I am trying to get back on the podcasting wheel, if there is one. But I have been carrying the thought of recording this episode about the Libra season and how we can utilize the energy of Libra for at least 3 weeks since the season of Libra started. So I think that at least it shows a little bit of persistence from my side, because I haven't felt it that much with the previous seasons like Cancer, Leo, or Virgo. But with Libra, I was really, really determined to do this episode. And there has been so many circumstances that were standing on my way, from family to technological one to anything else in between. But here I am, and here hopefully you are. And today we will talk about Libra. So Libra season started quite a while ago. Actually, we are now in the last week of Libra season. But I still think it's worth to have this last day of the season and try to squeeze in all the potential benefits and all the energies that are flowing now in the world, in our hearts, in our minds, because Libra is still here. And it is a season that always makes me more attuned into the darker days that are about to come. Actually, it is quite dark now. It's 7:45, and I remember just a month ago, I could still see the sunset, and now it's pitch dark, and I see a full moon, because, yeah, tomorrow we are going to have an exact full moon in Aries, and I can see it through my window right now. And I also have to say, this is not very usual time for me to record. I usually do it in the daytime. So I feel quite tired and I feel like I'm running out of energy. So if I will stop making sense at one point, I promise I will stop recording and you will never hear this episode, at least not this take. But let's give it a try. Let's hope that the moon will help me as well. So as I mentioned, Libra season started around 3 weeks ago. It was 22nd of September, and it starts together or exactly on the same day as autumn equinox, also known in circles of people who are celebrating pagan festivities as Maybun. By the way, a discovery of the month. I always called it Mabun, but apparently it's Maybun. But don't quote me on that. Maybe that's another thing I got wrong. So it is not only the start of the Libra season, but also the start of the shorter days. autumn equinox, just like a spring equinox. It's a moment in a year when a day and a night become equal. And that is our invitation to ponder the concept of perfect balance. Perfect balance is an idea that is, of course, unattainable, but it's an idea that we should at least try to aspire to, at least in my personal opinion, or trying to be balanced as we can with everything that we have going on in our lives. And that's not only the invitation that was given to us by the autumn equinox, but also by Libra herself. Funny, I call Libra a woman or a female. I refer to her as her, while it is actually a masculine sign. So now I will tell you a little bit about the energy we are experiencing right now. If you have listened to my episodes about the zodiac signs, I believe it was episode number 2, I was explaining basic elements from which the zodiac signs characteristics are created. One of them is polarity. So we have female, feminine signs and masculine signs. In other cultures, it can be called yin and yang. In a more modern terms, it could be extrovert and introvert. You can also call it day and night. So Libra is a masculine sign. This means that this is an extroverted sign. This is a sign that likes to be out there. It's an action-driven sign. It's a dynamic sign. It's a sign that goes out there and get it. As opposed to feminine sign that tend to focus more on nurturing qualities, introspective, emotional, introverted qualities. So this is the energy of starting being active, going out there, going in front of people, talking to people, showing yourself to the world. The second aspect is actually quite nicely tied to that masculinity, and that is the element that Libra belongs to or is, and that element is air. So again, I mentioned in the second episode that zodiac signs are grouped in quadruplicities. So there are 4 groups of zodiac signs, and each of the group is kind of ruled or represented by an element. And those are elements that we are all very familiar with because we work with them daily. That's fire, air, water, and earth. So now we are at the air sign, and air, if we would have to choose a verb to describe air signs, it would be I think. Those are intellectual signs, signs that like to use their mind to analyze, to figure things out. They definitely are driven more by facts, by intellectual thinking, conversations, ideas, thoughts. As, for example, opposed to, I will give that example so you understand what I mean, as opposed to the water signs that are considered to be the emotional signs, the verb would be I feel. Those signs are usually driven by emotions, driven by intuition, driven by instinct, as opposed to the more reserved and also maybe even called mental, intellectual air signs. So Libra is the intellectual mental sign, and it's a thinker naturally because of that, and lives in her head for quite bit of a time that she spends on this planet Earth. But what this means for the energy we are dealing with right now? It means that we will try to solve our problems using our heads rather than our hearts or feelings or emotions. We might be more into thinking, overthinking, planning, and using our brain capacity rather than using anything else. And because of that, this is also a great period to reflect on yourself through all the intellectual tools we have. I'm using a lot of the word intellectual, and I want to say that doesn't mean that the rest of the signs are dumb. It just means that this is the first instinct of how the earth signs are going to approach any problem or situation. They will try to use their brain to figure it out and not, for example, an intuition. But that means that this can be a moment when we think and really take in consideration all the scenarios. We try to take all the facts in. We try to figure out different options by using logic. Earth signs are also signs that are said to be the most social and communicative. That goes hand in hand with that mental approach to life. So we might feel inclined to either share our thoughts or note them down, journal, make to-do list comparisons and other things of this kind. And there is a very interesting thing about the earth signs, because I lately realized that vast majority of signs in a zodiac are symbolized by an animal. So we have a Cancer for crab for Cancer, Scorpio for Scorpio, Leo for Leo, Bull for Taurus, and so on. Fishes for Pisces. But there are three signs, actually, I would say three and a half, four, that are not falling into the animal realm of things. And those are the earth signs. Because Gemini, which is the first earth sign that we actually talked about on this podcast, is represented by two twins. Two twins is kind of self-explanatory, by twins, by human twins. And Aquarius is represented by, for the love of God, a water bearer, just to make it very confusing. I'm an Aquarius. I could never understand why the hell I'm represented by some dude picking up water when I am an air sign. But all right, let them have it. Probably there will be one time in a future episode trying to figure out why those symbols are there, because I cannot imagine that I look at this night sky and I look at the Aquarius constellation and I see a dude with the bucket. I'm sorry, I don't go that far with my imagination. I could see, for example, the Scorpio, how the stars are, but I cannot see that. But I just completely deterred. So I'm coming back to Libra. Libra is interesting because she actually is represented. This is the only zodiac sign that is represented by a thing that is not alive. Those are the scales. But in some representations, you see a woman holding the scales. And that is believed to be Venus, which is a ruling planet of Libra. But it's either a woman holding a scales or a scales. Scales itself as an object that is not alive symbolizes that objectivity of Libra, that drive to listen to every single side of the story and be objective in your judgments, to be that devil's advocate, for which Libra is very well known for, to balance everything out because of that almost inhuman objectivity. However, if we add the Venus or the woman holding the scales to the mix, then we have the third air sign also represented by some sort of a human. And for that reason, air signs are considered to be more driven towards understanding another human being, being more social, more open to relations, to building groups, building communities, connecting with other people, because they are represented by a human in the end of the day. While other signs could have more interesting motivation to be more self-centered or focused more on their own needs or themselves rather than having that drive to cooperate, meet, be in the presence of other people. I mentioned that there are 3.5 or whatever signs that are represented by a human. We also have a Sagittarius. This is not an episode about Sagittarius, but Sagittarius is represented by a centaur, I believe. So it's a half horse, half man, which is also super strange. And probably we will break it down on Sagittarius season, but that gives such a little bit of that half human, half animal, more kind of a, you know, raw quality. But that's the topic for another episode. So we are dealing with that kind of air energy, energy that is driven by building relations with human, understanding other human, cooperating, collaborating with human. Energy that is trying to intellectualize a lot of things, solve problems by the power of mind. And also air signs all tend to live in their own head quite a lot. So ironically, this can also be a season when you will be overthinking a lot. Last but not least, we have the modality. So all the signs are being also grouped in a pairs of three. In triplets, we have three cardinal signs. Sorry, four. Oh my God, quadruples. Yeah, it's late here. So there are four cardinal signs, four fixed signs, and four mutable signs. And again, the very detailed explanation about this was in episode 2. So Libra belongs to the cardinal signs, which means it's a initiatory force. It's the starting force. It's the one that goes out and makes something. It's that first sparkle to create something. So that's why all the cardinal seasons, which is Aries, Cancer, Libra, and Capricorn, are very good at starting new things, initiating new things. And if you want to remember which signs are cardinal, then just think about the signs that are starting, exactly starting, every single season of the year. So Aries starts spring, Cancer starts summer, Libra starts autumn, and Capricorn starts winter. So this is a good time to start new things in your life, whatever they might be, because there is the impulse and there is a good energy around starting and initiating projects, new habits, new ideas, new relationships even. And then we will see what will stick, but that's Scorpio's problem, because that's the fixed sign, and so Scorpio is going to be responsible for what sticks and for sticking that well. So the last aspect of Libra, I already mentioned the symbolism of scales and that objectivity and imparity and trying to pretty much always balance all the opinions and everything around. But the last thing that is important to mention about Libra is that it is ruled by Venus. Venus is a planet of love, of course, relationships, but also art and beauty and harmony. And there are two signs that are ruled by Venus. There is, of course, Taurus, which we discussed before, and then there is Libra. And when we have Venus as a ruler of a sign, which means that Venus is kind of like a patron of that period of Libra seasons, it means, at least for me, intuitively, and also from the research I made, that those are quite special periods for women, for females. And I can actually see that, I can feel that. I feel, for example, and I see that many times, that in a Taurus season, and One thing is the weather, but also that kind of probably the energy of the season that women like to shed their winter skin during Taurus. Taurus starts at the end of April. We are many times rethinking our wardrobe. We think about presenting ourselves in a more beautiful manner because, you know, the weather is nicer. We can wear more things, be more colorful. We do our hair and things of this kind. I see it as kind of like a growth from a moth to a beautiful butterfly. Suddenly, we females, we get the first sun, and I see that kind of energy of wanting to look more beautiful, beautifying ourselves. With Libra, I don't necessarily see it from a point of view of the outside beauty. It's not necessarily the season that we will focus on beautifying ourselves, although that's totally okay if you have that drive, because Venus is now in charge of the energy. But I do believe that there is an aspect here for us females that many times it's not explored and should be. Because Venus can help us to prepare well for the darker months that are coming now. As I mentioned, just from the time when equinox happened, we are facing shorter days. We are going into the dark side of the year, when we will accumulate at 21st of December with the shortest day. Those are usually periods, especially coming together with the Christmas and New Year extravaganza we have in our culture. Those are difficult periods for women. I'm not saying they are not difficult for men, but I do not have that experience, so I cannot talk on behalf of men. But as I experience it, of course, if you are a working person, a working mother, working woman, there are things going on at work. On the top of that, you have all the Christmas festivities, all the presents, the cooking, the Christmas tree, planning trip. Where do we go for Christmas? Do we drive here? Do we drive there? And then there is this January slump. I lately heard the first week of January being called the yuckiest week of the year, or the first Monday is the yuckiest Monday. And we women tend to put a lot of strain on ourselves without even realizing. We tend to run more, trying to do more, trying to accomplish more, trying to put together more things while having day by day, week by week, less energy. And that less energy is a very natural thing. Remember, this is flowing with the sky clock. So now we are flowing into the low energy part of the year. This is when we observe all the animals preparing to either go to a warm countries or preparing for hibernation. Trees, plants, and everything else prepares to shed the last leaves and go into some sort of a hibernation rest. This is also a time to replenish yourself, restore yourself. And what we do instead, we tend to take way more on ourselves than we would normally take, let's say, in May, and then end up absolutely frustrated, sad, angry, or even depressed. And that's why I wanted to record this episode. I know this was a very long introduction to what am I about to say, but it is very important to use this Libra female-friendly Venus ruled season to focus on yourself and your own internal preparation for the dark half of the year. That's why I would like to invite you to do that mental exercise for yourself, to do that preparation and think about, how am I going to manage my energy? How am I going to manage myself, my life, my activities, to be more in tune with the darker side of the year, to be able to also restore myself, to replenish myself, to have a proper aligned with nature autumn and winter. And I have three quick exercises that you can use for doing that. And I will describe them briefly, but please keep in mind, this is a Libra season. It is a cardinal sign. If you are about to start something, start it now. If there is a self-care routine you want to implement in your life, do it within this week. If there is an activity, a type of exercise, a meditation practice, or even learning an art of saying no or setting boundaries, if there is anything of this kind you need to introduce into your life in order to prepare yourself better for a lower energy months, do it within this week. I would highly, highly recommend it because this is the energy to do it. So in order to maybe do that reflection exercises, I would say at the beginning that this is, of course, optional. This is not supposed to be done necessarily in order. It can, but it doesn't have to be. But if you would like to give it a go, then the first thing I would like to invite you to do is to actually do the harvest reflection. Harvest is symbolized by the Maybun. So basically, Maybun, meaning the autumn equinox, is called the second harvest, with the final harvest happening on Samhain, which some of you will know as Halloween. That is considered to be the last harvest. This is when everything is officially, you know, dead, collected, and, you know, there is nothing more living to collect from what we have during the spring. So the harvest exercise is basically a reflection exercise when you look at the past 6 months, and here we are coming back with thoughts to the spring equinox, and that was 3rd of March this year. And I would like you to look into all the plans and all the activities and projects and ideas and resolutions that you had at this point at the beginning of spring, and reflect back on everything that happened within those 6 months. Did you manage to accomplish those things that you thought you will accomplish? What did you learn from the last 6 months? What have changed? Is there something that you have initiated and it happened? If it happened, did it happen the way you wanted? Or maybe you realized it's not something you wanted? What has appeared in your life that you did not expect it, but turned out to be a wonderful blessing? Or maybe there is something that happened in your life that is not pleasant and you still don't understand why it's there. Whatever that is, I would like you to reflect on those 6 months and imagine that at the beginning of spring, you have put the seeds in the ground for certain things, and many times unconsciously. And now you are collecting, you are harvesting the fruit that those seeds have bear. What kind of fruit did you get? And I think that this is a very good exercise because it allows us to reflect on things and to take the lessons learned, but it also allows us to wake up this feeling of gratitude towards things that happened. We tend to live our life from one day to another and to have a lot of things going just like in motion, just by, you know, autopilot kind of setup. And that kind of reflection allows us to take a breather, look back and see, okay, what did I accomplish? What have I lost? What did I had to let go of? What was my big surprise, big prize, big joy? What has happened? And having that harvest done on a piece of paper, or even if you like to record, you can make a voice memo to yourself. Having that harvest puts you in a more aware space where you realize what actually has happened in the last 6 months, and you have something to ponder upon, to think about, to reflect on, to share with others during the winter months. Take the learnings, digest the lessons, and start again when the spring starts. The second exercise that I would like to invite you to do, or maybe just self-reflection, is the one about balance. And this is something that I have also proposed to women on a women's circle that we had. We had a Libra circle 2 weeks ago, and I think it was quite a beneficial one. So this is, of course, definitely May Boon, aka Autumn Equinox, and Libra themed exercise, and it is called the balance self-reflection. And here I would like to invite you to think about all the areas of your life. You can identify them first, maybe on a piece of paper. We are in the mental season, we are in Libra, so that's okay. And it can be, for example, family, relationship, career, self-development, home, motherhood, health, whatever areas of your life you would like to identify, put them on the pieces of paper. And then think about which of those areas has dominated your thoughts, your heart, your mind at this point of time. And then also reflect which parts of your life, which areas are you neglecting or down prioritizing, especially those that are important to you and to your self-being. So as an example, you can have a situation that you realize that your role as a mother has dominated your life completely. Or, quite a contrary, you might actually discover that it's the career that is currently dominating your life. That's the one that you put most of your thoughts and actions in. But then it can bring some sort of tension to your family life. Or maybe it doesn't really allow you to have a mindful, spiritual relationship with yourself. So once you identify the areas that are domineering your life and those that have been neglected, I would like to invite you to come up with 2 to 3 actions or resolutions for the next 6 months that will focus on creating more balance between all the areas of your life. It can be something as simple as, I'm not working late hours anymore to the extent I was, or for example, I'm gonna have a more quality time with my children. Those are, of course, super, super basic, or something like, I need to take care of myself more. I am going to have now 1 hour, let's say, a week only for myself. I'm just leaving the house and I'm leaving everyone behind because I don't know. I need to sit on my ass in the grass and meditate, whatever, or have a wine in a forest. And I don't know why I'm inviting you to go to the nature, probably somewhere in November, but I live in a village, so maybe that's why. And honestly, no, I wouldn't go with the glass of wine to the forest, nor would I sit on my ass in a grass at this point of time. However, maybe if I would have something thermal, like some thermal blanket. Wrong examples, great examples for spring or summer. But whatever that is, maybe you neglected your friends. Maybe you neglected having fun. Maybe you neglected your relationship because, for example, the motherhood took over. Whatever that is, I would love to know that this kind of, resonates with you and that you would do a kind of a reflection. Okay, I see that my life is unbalanced. What can I do to make it more balanced? Because more balanced life doesn't mean that you live halfway in every area. It means that it creates more peace within you. Because if you neglect something, you always have this feeling of guilt. If you invest too much in one area, that dominates your life to the extent that you just don't develop anywhere else. So that's the exercise that I don't know why I use the word exercise. I probably should use something more like a self-reflection, but okay, let's call it exercise for the time being. I promise I will come up with a better word for episode 5 if it's gonna happen this year. Haha. Well, let's hope. There's hoping. The last thing I would like to invite you to do is, based on your harvest, the lessons learned, and everything that you, became aware of from the past 6 months, and based on this reflection about balance in your life exercise, I would like you to come up with a very simple yet tangible things you can do for yourself in order to thrive. Thriving instead of surviving this autumn and winter as a woman. So this requires a commitment to yourself. It is almost like signing a contract just with yourself. And that's one wonderful thing that my best friend always liked to talk about, signing contract with yourself, honoring yourself, committing to yourself. Why do we have such a problem with that when we are so easy to commit with to any, well, maybe not that easy, but at work, we actually usually are quite good at committing or signing contracts and trying to chase the deadlines. Why are we not having the same easiness of committing to ourselves? This would mean we are down prioritizing ourselves. We are pushing ourselves constantly as the lower placement on our life list. So this requires the commitment. And again, it can be something, as I even gave examples in the balance exercise. You can try to, well, I also don't want you to put too much pressure on yourself, but you can promise yourself that I will do my best at finding one day a month, let's say, when I do something new or exciting. Or I promise myself not to, I don't know, go crazy with Christmas preparations and delegate that shit to other people. Or just, do a basic menu for Christmas. That's my personal kind of thing because I love to cook and stuff, but it kills me. 3 days cooking at the kitchen can kill you. It can be something like, I promise myself that every morning, I will go out for 3 minutes at the sunrise to expose myself to light because I know that light is what I'm going to need during the darker months. Or I promise myself to do that yoga or stretching exercise 2 times a week. I promise myself to identify my boundaries and to vocalize them to everyone around, so I don't take too much on myself. Or I promise myself to say no to things when I feel like I am going to collapse. Whatever those promises are, I want you to put them in a context of our natural vitality as humans is gonna drop. This is a period of rest and hibernation. And how am I going to balance the needs of my body and my soul, which is rest and peace, with the modern and cultural requirements of, you know, Christmas and New Year's and all these kind of things. And this is the invitation, an open invitation for all of you, ladies, also gentlemen, because I don't know, maybe there is a man who is listening to this. I would be very surprised. I don't know why, but I would be surprised for some reason. But I would like to hear from you, from that man, if he exists, doubtfully, but also from you, from my other listeners, rather than the one man that doesn't exist. So basically, I would like to hear from you. And you can find the official page of this podcast at flowingwiththeskyclock.com, and you can find podcast on the front page. And I create every episode, so you can always drop me a comment, or you can just simply write me an email at flowingwiththeskyclock@gmail.com and share your opinion, share your reflection, and maybe even ask a question. So that's how I am proposing you to squeeze the last juices out of Libra season. I would like to remind you that Scorpio is starting, I think, on 22nd of October. So just in a couple of days, we are entering into a very different energy. Like, I mean, really different. But please use the last days of Libra season to reflect on yourself, prepare yourself for winter, for autumn, and embrace your, you know, femininity a little bit and take care of it. Take care of it like you would take care of your best friend, your daughter, your sister. Just, you know, yeah, I want to take care of you. I will make sure, I will make commitments to myself that we will survive this autumn and winter thriving, at least, or at least not collapsing. Okay, let's set up some reasonable benchmarks, but I hope that you will be able to do that. So this was all for today, and I will hear you next time.